Chicago's sports conversation is now.
There's been a lot of talk. There's been a lot written about this AFL-NFL championship.
Man, you got to deal with Brady, man. You got to look over across the field and know that this guy ain't no joke.
The Beat.
Kane on the breakaway through center ice over the Sabre line. He shoots. He scores! Patrick Kane with NHL point number 900.
We never wanted to leak it to the media. We wanted to do everything in-house, but that wasn't
on. On 720 WGN.
All right, let us get ready for the Super Bowl. We are 24 hours and 22 minutes away from Tom Brady going for Super Bowl title number 6. Bill Belichick trying to tie himself up with Curly Lambeau and George Halas, the whole thing. Harry, good to see you, buddy.
I like the idea of Bill Belichick tying himself up. That's a prop bet. Can Bill Belichick tie himself up?
All right, I want to start with the thing that's the most interesting to me. All right, Harry, what are you willing to do to make yourself, I don't know, 20 grand?
To make 20 grand?
Yeah.
What do I have to do?
Okay, so this is all right. I've been going over the prop bets, all right?
Right.
All right, so one of the prop bets out there, by the way, welcome in 720 WGN, Carmen Harry with you till 6:30 ahead of Blackhawks hockey. Blackhawks going for their fourth in a row. Let's take down Minnesota. All right, here it is. You ready for this one?
Yes.
Prop bet. A fan runs onto the field. Do you think a fan will run onto the field tomorrow?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, well, if you do, that's plus 700. If you wager 100 bucks, you get 700 bucks in return. Not running onto the field, which would be my guess, is minus 1500. Okay? But but plus 700, okay? So here's what I got for you, Harry. I got you on a flight leaving after the show tonight or tomorrow morning. You're going down to Atlanta.
Heading down to Atlanta.
Right. You're betting the maximum on this bet, which is $5,000.
Okay.
All right.
Now we're talking.
All right. You're betting $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That a fan's going to run onto the field. So you got to get your airfare.
Right.
And now you got to get on down there. Now you're betting $5,000.
$3,500 back my way.
Well, no, $5,000
$35,000.
All right. So now you got to buy a ticket though.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, on the street in Atlanta, let's say it costs you $2,000 to get in. $2,000?
Yes, sounds high, but yes.
Okay, let's go lower. Let's say it costs you $1,000 to get in. All right. So now we'll split the middle. You paid $1,500.
Okay.
We'll throw $500 for the flight, so we're at $2,000. All right. You're laying $5,000 to win $35,000. You're trying to make $30,000. Now, Harry, you are a sober guy, and so you'll have to just do this fully on your own. No alcohol behind you.
Saves money right there.
Right? You just got to run on the field. There goes Harry. I got you in a shirt. Carmen Harry, 720 WGN.
The shirts come out yet?
Yeah, well, I'm working with upper management. You sprint out there. You scream whatever you want to scream. You put your hands up. They pummel you into the ground. They take you off the field. They arrest you. Handcuffs, the whole thing. And then the next day, you're out of jail. You got to get a legal team together.
Addison Greenberg.
There you go. You hire Addison Greenberg. Does he do it for you pro bono?
No, he does. Well, yeah, probably yes.
Okay. And then you've pocketed about, I don't know, 25G?
Sounds like a deal.
So,
what time is the flight?
Who wants to see Harry? What time is the flight here? Hang on, let me
start. I'll do that.
All right.
I've been in the old Atlanta Stadium.
Oh yeah.
But I've not been in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
So there you go. Look, you can do this, Harry, by the way, in the fourth quarter. You can watch the whole game.
Right. There's no will a fan run on the field in the first quarter bet. It's
right.
Just will a fan run on the field.
I mean, you can enjoy the game. Here, I got a $337 flight leaving tomorrow on Southwest for you. 8 a.m. You land at 10:50, well ahead of the game. And then coming on back, it'll cost you $100 coming in back. There you go, $400. Done. You want me to book it?
Go ahead and book that for me.
312-981-7200. Should Harry go to Atlanta, put his career on the line, and run on the field and make some dough?
Yeah, there are some good prop bets, by the way.
Oh, there's a ton.
Yes.
But I like that one the most.
Yeah, that's just pretty good. You could bet like Russell Westbrook's triple-double numbers compared to Gronk's yards.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. I like the crossover bets.
Yeah. You know what I like about tomorrow's game?
Huh.
You know who's got the most Super Bowl losses at quarterback in the history of the game?
I would say Tom Brady.
He has a chance to tie it tomorrow.
So Fran Tarkenton?
Fran has 3. He's tied with Brady right now, along with Elway with 3. Think about that team that went 4 times and lost every time.
Oh, Jim Kelly.
Jim Kelly's got 4. So Brady could be the guy.
Yes, but by the way, Marv Levy is like a genius. Jim Kelly is an unbelievable football player, and that anybody would associate them with losing is just they lost 4 straight Super Bowls. But how can you go to 4 straight Super Bowls? I mean, New England's there 5 out of 6 times. It's incredible. It's just it's baffling.
Right, Dan Marino's I'm down in Atlanta this week. Mm-hmm. Dan Marino's walking around Radio Row.
Uh huh.
Never won the big one.
Only got there once. His second season, and the Niners beat him 38-16.
Smoked by Joe Montana.
Palo Alto, California.
Is Dan Marino a loser? You never won the Super Bowl. Is Charles Barkley a loser? Patrick Ewing? No, but
the football, of the 4 major sports, football is by far the biggest.
Hardest to win?
No, it's the one you need the team. You got to have teammates to win a Super Bowl. You could be an individual player. And if you're great, the same level of great in all those 4 sports, the hardest one you're going to have to win, the one you're most dependent upon your teammates coming through for you, is football, the Super Bowl. Would you agree?
I would. You got to have, not only on offense, if you're a quarterback, not only do you have to have great receivers, not only do you have to have a good offensive line.
Right.
Today's game don't need the running back as much,
mm-hmm.
but back in the day you certainly did, and even now, of course, it helps. I mean, I think a huge part of the game tomorrow is Todd Gurley healthy, and if he's not, or is C.J. Anderson going to step up and be big? To me, the Rams need to control keeping Brady off the field. That's a huge part of it. And I think on the other side of the coin is, can they get to Brady? I mean,
Aaron Donald led the league in sacks.
20.5 sacks for an interior guy is insane.
Nuts.
But I don't think that's going to happen tomorrow. I think the Patriots are going to double team him. So.
Yeah, so you've got 3 other first rounders that are on that front 4.
Right.
I mean, they're going to come at Brady in waves tomorrow. Now, what Jarrett Payton was talking about on the NFL Network yesterday is how the Pats are like chameleons. That whatever way they have the best chance to win, they become that team. So even though they got Brady, they don't always have to be a passing team. They don't always have to be a running team. They don't always have to throw the bomb. If the bomb is how they're going to win, then they'll throw long, But I think that the Rams pass rush is by far the fiercest pass rush that Brady and New England have faced this entire season.
Yeah. And
with the possible exception of our Bears.
And there's also numbers where Brady facing pressure from the outside, mm-hmm. extremely effective.
Mm-hmm.
Brady facing pressure up the middle, less effective.
And the other guy, obviously, lining up next, the other defensive tackle lining up next to Aaron Donald is Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah. And the Rams, they get a ton of credit for their defense, as they should. But the other side is the Patriots' defense has been phenomenal. So they absolutely, I would say, won the game against Kansas City because Patrick Mahomes and company were chasing the whole way. They kept them off the board early. If they do that again, and the Pats get out to a lead, you got to like New England's chances.
I find it very, I think it's cool that both the starting running backs in this game, Gurley and Sony Michel, come from the University of Georgia. And the game is being played in Georgia. I think that's kind of cool that both these guys, one of these guys is returning home to, win a championship.
And Sony Michel is 101 yards away, by the way, for the rookie record for rushing yards in the postseason.
And he's also the shortest price on the board to score the first touchdown.
You making that play?
I'm going long shot. I'm going. That's a bet. You know, it's like the Kentucky Derby. You don't bet the favorite. First to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl, you don't bet the favorite. You know, Robert Woods, 10-1. I mean, that's something you can. I mean, Chris Hogan, 10-1.
How do you even make these bets, though?
Well, what you do is you get online.
Yeah.
And you put a credit card in, and then you can, like, move your mouse, and boom. That's how you make the bet. Or you call a guy.
Isn't the prop bets have to be made with some offshore, like, isn't that a bookie-made bet?
Prop bets can be made. Vegas takes all the during-the-game prop bets. In other words, like Gladys Knight, how long will she take to sing the national anthem? You cannot bet that in Vegas.
Right, you can't. Right, anything that's
right, but
that
you can bet that. But you can bet that prop bet on, you know, any offshore site.
See, my understanding right now is that to make those bets, you have to, like, you got to put money in Bitcoin.
No,
to get
no,
yeah, I, no, that's no, what I've been reading.
No, you can go on to one of those offshore sites.
Is that what Terry Tynowitz does back in the day?
No. I had a guy.
You had a guy?
Yeah.
I don't want to get too personal here.
No. We'll just.
I'm feeling uncomfortable.
We'll call him Phil.
I mean, Phil. Okay, yeah. So you would just call up Phil.
It was going so bad for me one year that at Christmas time, Phil takes out this beautiful. I have it with me today, in fact.
Do you really?
I have this.
Harry's on the move. He's going to get Phil's something.
This is a Chantilly scarf from Barney's.
Oh, yeah, right.
Which is worth over $200. And Phil gave it to me as a Christmas gift one year. Is that a bad sign when your bookie gives you a $200 Chantilly scarf for the holidays?
Harry, I appreciate your business. That's a good job by Phil. Well done. Okay. Just to throw a couple numbers out here, by the way.
Yes, 312-981-7200.
We're gonna play a singing game coming up here.
That's not gonna keep your audience.
No, I think it absolutely is. Well, we got Earl Bennett at 5:35, so we're gonna sing after 6. And the over under on how long Gladys Knight will sing is 1:47, 107 seconds. I would like to, if you're down for it, Harry, and we've been talking about this all day, and I still haven't gotten you to buy in, so I'm going to ask you again. I would like to sing against you as to who can get it as close, without looking at the clock, we have to have integrity here, to the 107 seconds for the national anthem.
Okay, now Jim Cornelison.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a certain style. I feel like I would be trying to obviously, my voice is nowhere near Jim's. My voice is nowhere near a diseased cat in heat. But, you know, I feel like I can, you know, talk my way through, you know, like, I'm not going for the, you know, winning the voice. But I will go through the national anthem as if I were singing it to see how long it would take me.
Do you know the words?
Do I know the words?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, Canada, our home and native land.
I don't.
True patriot love in all thy sons command.
Is Kessler in there? I don't believe you actually know the words.
How do you not know the words? It's the national anthem. Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light.
Wait,
what
hold
so
on.
Proudly we hailed at the twilight's last yes. gleaming.
Whose so far, so good.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars.
Wait.
What do you mean, wait? You know the song.
I don't think. Hold on a second
I think
here.
Is he so
questioning
far, so
these lyrics are wrong?
Go ahead. Do it again. From the start.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light, which so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming,
yeah.
whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Are you reading
and
this?
And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still, Jim Cornelison, hand up in the air, there.
Okay.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave for the land of the free and the home of the brave.
You're true. That's, yeah. Well done, Harry. You're
the slow clap.
Light for peace.
I'm impressed.
That don't be.
I don't think many people could actually pull off what you just pulled off.
I think
really
they could. I think you're underestimating people. This is America, man. This is America. We know our national anthem. Pledge of Allegiance could be a little tougher for me.
Yeah. By the way, 815's texting in, no singing Harry, which obviously means yes
right,
singing
no,
Harry.
I don't see, and again, I'm on record, I should never, unless it's a Bob Dylan or a Tom Petty song, because Kessler, you know, I've got that like Dylan nasality thing, you know, that Tom Petty right, nasality sure. thing. So like, you know, if it's a Dylan or a Petty song, I could parody that, but otherwise I should never sing.
You're so bad. Best thing you ever had.
Oh, that's a great Petty song.
That's a great
off
tip.
The album Full Moon Fever.
Absolutely. All right, take some calls coming back. Earl Bennett coming up.
Earl!
We're still going to have a singing contest. I think you just went way too fast there.
I wasn't doing that as I would if I were, you know, singing the National Anthem.
Right, okay. All right.
Do you remember who sang the National Anthem when the Bears lost to the Colts?
Do I remember who sang the anthem when they lost? No, I don't. Who?
The Piano Man.
Billy Joel?
Billy Joel.
Wow.
Best part of the game was Billy Joel before the game and Prince at halftime.
What about Devin? Can we give some love to Devin?
The only time a Super Bowl started with a kick return. How cool was that when he was looking at himself on the Jumbotron returning the kick?
In the rain.
Yes.
One of the great moments.
Have you ever done anything like that, Carm?
No, Harry, I haven't. Although I did do my Super Bowl experience this week, which if you haven't checked out the video, please do, at the Carm on Twitter or on Facebook. Gave it my all, Harry.
What did it consist of?
Let's talk about that coming back here. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Breaking news. The AP NFL Coach of the Year goes to...
That would be the Bears, Matt Nagy.
Congratulations. The fifth time in Chicago Bears history that they've had a head coach of the year. Well deserved. And it's also George Halas's birthday today, Harry.
Oh, how about that? Papa Bear.
Papa Bear has got to be Papa Proud with his 12-4 Bears, even though they didn't win a playoff game.
I bet you Frank Wright came in second with the Colts.
I did not see the official tally, but...
We also have the player of the year. The offensive player of the year has been named. Do you care to guess?
Offensive player of the year, Patrick Mahomes.
You are correct, sir. And the rookie of the year, offensive side of the football.
Offensive side of the football. Rookie of the year, Saquon?
It is Saquon Barkley, NYG.
All right. And Vic Fangio was named the AP assistant coach of the year.
Why are we not playing tomorrow?
Yeah, all that is true. And the Pro Football Hall of Fame class for 2019
there you go.
Has been announced as well. We got four defensive backs, Ed Reed, Champ Bailey, Ty Law, and Johnny Robinson, who was a seniors finalist.
Here's to you, Mr. Robinson.
And you also can throw in tight end Tony Gonzalez.
The all-time leading receiver of tight ends.
Center Kevin Mawai.
Kevin Mawai, who was a spectacular player for Houston, for the long time for the Jets. Jets center forever. And also the president of the players unit.
Pat Bowlen. I like how you're giving these bios. You want to keep going?
Pat Bowlen?
Mm-hmm. Pat Bowlen.
He was the owner of the Denver Broncos. And by the way, there is a horrible fight going on in Denver now. Over the estate. Tell me, does this sound familiar? Has this happened ever before in anything? The, you know, with the kids fighting against the current wife over who's got control of the team. But Pat Bowlen was the owner of the Broncos and just, you know, great leader for that team in that city.
And the last one is personal executive, longtime NFL guy Gil Brandt getting in.
Yeah, Cowboys guy.
Yeah, long into the NFL. All right, we got to take a quick time out. Earl Bennett's coming up. News is next, 720 WGN. Mark Carmen, Harry Tynowitz with you till 6:30. Blackhawks in the Wild. I can see Chris Bowden. He's getting warmed up.
Bowden!
Hawks on the road tonight, going for their third win, or their fourth win in a row, rather. And, they've been just putting the puck in the net here.
Should have a Colin Delia sighting tonight. Cam Ward was fabulous last evening.
18 goals for the Hawks in their last three games. All right, let's talk some Super Bowl with our guy Earl Bennett, who was down in Atlanta. I spent some time with him, Harry, as he was wearing the Pro Style Podcast t-shirt. Earl was, I don't think he had a great time down there, Earl Bennett. You were like, well, who are all these people? And this is really awkward.
I mean, it was flooded with celebrities everywhere. You had Deontay Wilder. You had Greg Olsen, Brian Urlacher. You had so many celebrities in there that it was just too overwhelming for me, you know? Like, I'm a low-key, travel-along type guy, and it was just too much for me.
Well, I thought you did a great job.
That's where hanging out with Carm comes in handy.
Right. Couldn't get any more low-key than that. Where's Carm's table? Over there in the corner. Like, I would look to my left here. Fox Sports Radio, this huge mammoth like, station right. with LED screens. And, you know, every personality's flipping through. There's Colin Cowherd, and he's talking to me. And there's Chris Broussard. And then there's Carm's table over there in the corner. But we were there, baby.
It's not where you start. It's where you finish.
Well, fair enough. All right, Earl Ben, who's winning tomorrow? I think you're leaning towards the Rams. Correct me if I'm wrong, unless you flipped in the last couple of days.
Yeah, no, I have the Rams winning this one by at least 4 points. I think defensively they're athletic enough to match up with the wide receivers from the Patriots. I think the Rams front four with Fowler, Brockers, Aaron Donald, and you know, my man, Ndamukong Suh, I think they're going to do a phenomenal job with pushing the pocket, getting to Tom Brady early and kind of rattle him. So, yeah, I like the Rams in this one.
I agree, Earl. I think that the number one reason the Rams beat New England is because of that pressure they'll be able to put on Brady, except for the Bears game. I don't think he's seen anything near this season. And Carm points out how he's okay dealing it with the sides coming from the ends, but you know, the outside backers, but not from up the middle. I also think that, you know, we have found in Sean McVay, we found a head coach that can match wits with the genius that is Bill Belichick.
Yeah, we have two geniuses going up against each other, one young, one older. McVay, I think, is really sharp, especially when it comes from an offensive perspective. I think he'll do a lot of things with Todd Gurley, who I hear is healthy for this game, and I think that he'll be a very intricate part of this offense. But Jared Goff, I think the play action for him is going to be big this week again, as it was against the Saints, and I look for him to hit a couple balls down the middle with Brandon Cooks.
Jared Goff would be the seventh first pick in the draft to win the Super Bowl as a quarterback. How many can you guys come up with of the other ones?
Good
Peyton
question.
Manning.
Peyton Manning, right? You could use that. You could use that last name again if you wanted to for another answer.
Can you restate the question, please?
Eli Manning is correct. Also, you're good. The question is that if Jared Goff wins the Super Bowl, he would be the seventh number one pick quarterback to win a Super Bowl. Who were the other six? And a couple are old school. A couple of them are tough. But there's a couple, and we can come back to it as we continue to talk with the great Earl Bennett on WGN.
Yeah, I was having all sorts of thoughts going through my head, Harry. So it's something that we're going to have to re-adjourn to, if you will, unless Earl wants to take this one. Earl, you got it?
No, I don't have it right now. I can't name the rest of them.
Man, Tynowitz trivia is one of the toughest trivias. Can you restate the question, please, one more time?
The question again. I haven't changed it. The question is, Jared Goff would be the seventh quarterback who was selected number one overall in the draft. Who are the other six that have won the Super Bowl?
Number one overall picks that have won
right.
the Super Bowl.
And a couple of them are hard. A couple of them are, you're missing an easy one, who won three, who has the largest hands in the world.
Large hands.
Yes, and he won three. He has triplet Super Bowl rings, and he was a triplet.
Three Super Bowl rings with large hands.
He played at both UCLA and Oklahoma when he was in college.
He played at both UCLA and Oklahoma when he was in college. Earl, you're supposed to take this.
Yeah, he started at Oklahoma, and then he went to he went to UCLA, and he played with Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith.
Well, Troy Aikman. There we go.
It was Troy Aikman, Harry.
Yes, it was. Yes, I can't get anything past you. The others just, and then we'll move on. Jim Plunkett, Terry Bradshaw, and then this fellow with big teeth from Denver.
Terry Bradshaw was number one overall?
Yes.
I did not know that.
I didn't know John Elway was number one overall.
Oh, yeah. He remember he wouldn't go to Indy. He threw a fit.
That's right.
I do remember the fit. That was solid. Hey, Earl, how much do you think Gronk's going to be a factor in the game? Because the Rams don't tend to cover the tight end particularly well. George Kittle, Travis Kelce, Zach Ertz, they've all had big games against him. And Gronk's been hurt, but he certainly showed up big in the NFC Championship game, or the AFC Championship game, rather. I would think that that's one area that, amongst others, that the Patriots will be trying to exploit.
I would not be surprised if Aqib Talib lined up against Gronkowski.
Interesting.
Aqib is a big physical corner who I think could match up easily with Gronk. And I would, if I'm the defensive coordinator and Gronk goes out wide, I'm matching him up with Aqib Talib just because any other defensive back that they have, whether it's Marcus Peters, Sam Shields, those are smaller guys. But I would definitely love to see Aqib go against Gronk, and I think he could hold his own, honestly.
That's I like that idea. Of course, Aqib Talib, Kansas Jayhawks, terrible football team, but they do put a lot of guys into the pros, so you got to respect that. How good is Brandon Cooks?
He's very good. I mean, he's a speedster. He's one of those guys that if he has one step on you, you can pretty much kiss a goodbye. We saw against the Saints, he ran the deep route, had one step on a guy, ended up making a huge catch for them. They ended up putting it in the end zone. So he's a guy that you can do a lot with. You can do a speed sweep in the round with him. So he's one of those guys that you really love as an offensive coordinator because he's so interchangeable. He can pretty much do it all.
Why does he keep changing teams?
That is a good question. I mean, I have no idea why the Saints traded him. And then he goes to the Patriots and he produces again. I am baffled about how many times Brandon Cooks has been traded. But notice he's been traded, not cut, which is a great thing.
True.
When somebody wants you, that at the end of the day, you know, it's a win. Hey, Earl, there's 7 zillion stats that you can, you know, pick out for this game. I'm giving you one to see if you think this matters. The New England Patriots are 16-1 in the playoffs in the Belichick era when they play a team that they have not seen during the regular season. 16-1. Now, they did not face the Rams this year. They're 13-9 in rematches. So, you know, the first time playing them, Belichick schemes better, and then they've won 16 out of 17. Next time they come up against him, okay, this is how they're going to play us. Maybe, you know, a lot of times teams have more talent than New England, and they're able to beat him. In this particular case, why I'm bringing it up, a lot of people think the Rams have more talent than the Patriots. So do you think that stat does is something to consider, the fact that they haven't played each other and the Rams maybe will start slow, Belichick will find an edge, they won't counter as quickly, and that will somehow, some way, lead New England to winning their, you know, Brady's sixth, and Belichick gets a sixth, the whole thing?
I'm not buying into that. Okay. I think the Rams are prepared. I think they're going to come out early. I think they're going to start very fast. They're going to get Todd Gurley going. They're going to get Jared Goff with some play action, some movement. I think that when you look at this Rams offensive and defensive-wise, yes, they are better. They're more athletic. They're more talented than the Patriots. Bill Belichick has had 2 weeks to really sit there and scheme for them. But I'm still not buying that. Sean McVay, this is his year. This is a sign for the young coaches to really cement themselves into the NFL. I think they come in, I think they get the job done, and they get the victory.
Do you like old people or young people? Belichick, 66. McVay, 33. Do you prefer old or young?
I have no preference. As long as we win, I'm okay.
Hey, yep. Earl could be running for mayor here in Chicago in about 4 weeks. You don't know. You know, if we're talking about coaches, I think the biggest edge would have to be for the two staffs would have to be Wade Phillips, who has been, you know, grew up the son of a coach and has been a coach for 700 years. He was the Broncos coach just 3 years ago when they knocked off Carolina in the Super Bowl. I think Wade Phillips is going to be a nightmare for Tom Brady. Do you agree?
That is the X factor. I think when you look at Wade Phillips and the defensive team that he had when he was with the Broncos and how he rushed Tom Brady in that AFC championship game, how he did Cam Newton in that game, that is what we're going to see. We're going to see the pass rushers coming off the edge. You got Aaron Donald on the inside to handle with Ndamukong Suh. So I think those guys are going to be a nightmare. Wade Phillips, let's get you another one.
Wade Phillips is getting so much love this week.
He should.
He should throw Aqib Talib chain again, too. Like, that's probably the coolest thing that I've seen is Wade Phillips with Aqib Talib chain on.
Yeah, and I like that he honored his dad by dressing as Bum Phillips. He wore like one of those, you know, nice like full length fur coats, you know, male fur coats as he got on the plane from L.A. to Atlanta. So it seems to me that the entire world, except for New England and the retirees in Arizona and in Florida, are cheering for the Rams. Does it feel like that to you guys?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, a lot of people want Belichick to win just because he's, you know, he's older.
Who?
He's one of those coaches that has cemented himself in the league for a very long time, has been very successful. But honestly, I just feel like it's the millennials' time. I feel like this is Sean McVay time. It's his time to step up and really show the world what he can do as not just an offensive-minded coach, but as a head coach. And so I look for them to come out and really dominate this game from the start.
All right, let me give you one more here on your Rams dominance. Earl Bennett, former Bear wide receiver with us here, 720 WGN, friend of the program, Pro Style Podcast. Check it out. Listen to it. Live your dream. Okay, so the Rams are one of, statistically, the worst team in the NFL in stopping the run, 5.1 yards allowed per attempt. However, late in the season, additions to the defensive line, and then they've been their last three, Ezekiel, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, three of the most efficient runners in the league, 37 carries, 93 yards. So does that mean, in your mind, that New England will not be able to run the football tomorrow? Sony Michel, Rex Burkhead, whoever's not going to have a big day?
Wade Phillips is right now sitting in his room drinking tea and eating a carrot cake, all right?
Because you and your damn carrot cake.
Because he understands that tomorrow the Patriots are going to come out. They're trying to establish the run. Get Sony Michel, get James White going in the passing game. He's ready. He's not worried about that. He has his tea, his carrot cake. He's not worried. He's okay. The Rams by four.
And by the way, I tried to make this point this week, and nobody will come along with me. Mm-hmm. It makes everyone uncomfortable. But what's underrated about who's going to be catching the football tomorrow for New England?
Well, you got Julian Edelman, you got Chris Hogan, you got Philip Dorsett,
okay,
you got Gronk.
Take Dorsett out of it. Say those three again.
I hope you're not going where I think you're going.
Yes, I am going there.
Oh, my God. Edelman, Hogan. You know it's 2019, right?
Edelman, Hogan, and Gronk.
Rob Gronkowski.
We should, in 2019, we should be able to be comfortable enough to mention that's two white receivers, a white tight end, and who's the running back that sent them into the Super Bowl?
Oh, Rex Burkhead.
Four white guys, Earl. This is like unheard of in the history of the NFL. And running back and two wide receivers?
That's awesome. It's awesome, you know? Because the thing is that when you're playing football, your race doesn't matter. You go out and you play football. Some white kids are better than me when I play football. It's okay. It's just a part of life. Sometimes you're going to get the short stick. But a lot of people want to put extra emphasis on race when it comes to sports. Hey, it's football. Everybody put on the same shoulder pads, the same helmet, and we line up and we play.
Right.
See? It's a beautiful story, Harry.
Right. Well, I'm not surprised that there's white kids that are better than black kids, but I would be surprised if those were Jewish white kids. Because the helmets the Jewish kids put on, frankly, they probably got them wholesale.
I mean, look. This society has been tough on white people for so long. It's it's nice that they're finally getting an opportunity to play wide receiver and running back in the NFL. It's been very tough for white people forever in this country.
Right.
All right.
Everything old is new again.
Yeah. Earl, you're the best. even though I just saw you, I miss you and look forward to talking to you next week whenever we can have some fun.
And likewise, it is always a pleasure to be on with my favorite two people on sports radio, man. I appreciate you guys.
Your son's playing hoop tonight. What's going on that you told me something?
Yeah, my son plays basketball. First quarter, he had about 12 points. So he's getting there. He got a long way to go, but he's getting there.
How old is he?
He's 8. When we walked in the gym, the coach asked for his birth certificate. That's how tall he is. So, it's not fun having that kid that's bigger than everybody else at this stage, but we have to carry his birth certificate.
Earl, you're the man.
Thank you, guys.
Don't scream too much from the sidelines for your kid. That gets uncomfortable.
You're awesome, Earl.
Sure. Thank you, Harry.
Chocolate cake over carrot cake any day of the week, buddy.
I'll send you carrot next week.
See you, Earl. Earl Bennett. Chicago Bears, quick timeout, 720 WGN. Thanks, Daryl Bennett. Thank you for you listening on 720 WGN on a Saturday. Good to be with you, Mark Harmon, Harry Tynowitz. We're debating. See, I'm all hyped for the anthem tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm also hyped for Maroon 5. Are you hyped for Maroon 5?
I'm hyped for SpongeBob introducing Maroon 5.
Really? That's where you're going? Okay. Maroon 5 is going to do something to, because they're getting a lot of heat for performing. A lot of artists don't like it. Look what the NFL's done to Colin Kaepernick. You're going to go up there and you're going to perform. Screw you, Maroon 5. And so Maroon 5 didn't have a press conference this week, not talking about it, but yet they're going to do something to honor Kaepernick and the fight for equality and all that. So I'm interested to see what they do.
Well, it'll definitely be worth it. This is the weirdest thing about this game is that my family, the kids will, assuming I can get them to watch the game, the kids will wait till the commercials are over to run to the bathroom.
It's the best part.
They want to watch the commercials. They want to watch the halftime show.
It's a brilliant thing by the NFL. It's a national holiday. The game, I get it. It's never going to move that it's going to be on Sunday, but it's tough on Sunday at 5:30. People are, you know, they're having a good time. How much does everybody spend on the Super Bowl? You were just telling me $81.
The average American will spend $81 on the Super Bowl.
$81 on the Super Bowl.
Yes. Will you spend more or less? Not counting gambling. I'm just saying you'll spend $81 on buying the three things they spend the most money on are food, beverages, and alcohol.
I'm going to be spending less. I'm working tomorrow at Fansided. Dinner has been going to be provided. I will be spending less.
Okay.
Yes. Will you be spending more or less, Harry?
I already spent today a pretty penny.
Did you really?
Yes. I cleared out a good portion of Sam's Club.
All right, Harry.
Sam's Club is spectacular, you know, when you need 720 mini pizza bagels.
Great job by you.
Thank you.
Going to be I think Reggie and Lucy are going to have a great time, and whoever else you're having over. Thank you. Appreciate the invite.
Sure. Howie and Jess and the kids.
All right, yes. quick time out. Howie and Jess have a good time. 720 WGN. So this is the great Gladys Knight.
Feet.
Okay, fine. You're right, Terry. You're absolutely right. Okay, I'm on my feet. I'm up with you, baby. This is 28 years ago.
Actually, you know whose version they should just replay it every Super Bowl?
Whitney?
Yep.
So, all right, we got a contest for you here, team. 312-981.
Prove through the
7200
that our flag was still there.
Jennings is up
to. Jennings can sing.
So Jennings, I want you involved in this. 1 minute and 47 seconds. That is the over under on how long Gladys Knight will take to sing the anthem. The 40-year average. That's 107 seconds. Let's make it easier. 107 seconds. The 40-year average for anthem singers is 106.1 seconds.
Yes, if Ditka had sung it, then it would have been moved up to 20 seconds.
Right.
No, 40. He'd take a little longer.
Okay, only two anthems in the past 15 years, Harry.
Yes.
Have been performed faster than the 40-year average. Of 107 seconds. People are going quicker now, and longer now, more than 107.
They got that little blue pill.
Right. They're going for extra. Well, you know, you mentioned the little blue pill.
Harry.
Just since you mentioned that, Harry, men
yes
tend to sing the anthem more quickly than women.
Do. Sure. Well, you know, if a male singer wants the national anthem to last longer, he should just think about baseball.
Good one. Though not many men have sung the anthem, of course, in recent years, Harry.
Billy Joel sang it 12 years ago when the Bears lost to the Colts.
The fastest anthem ever was sung by Neil Diamond.
Oh, my God.
61 seconds.
I thought you were going to say.
Okay, that's moving quick.
Yeah. And the longest was Natalie Cole, 1994. She went full diva, 148 seconds.
Okay, Natalie Cole is so cool. And that Nat King Cole, Natalie Cole video they spliced together, that is so cool.
Unforgettable.
Yes, it is.
So I would like to... because Harry's afraid to sing. He's wimping out.
I'm not afraid to sing. I've already sung. I've already given you every lyric of the song.
He just can't carry it in a tune.
Right.
There's a difference.
Right.
Exactly. Harry's afraid to sing, so.
No, we're afraid to let him sing. Let's get it right.
I personally am not afraid, but.
You should be.
Okay. 312-981-72.
We are fortunate no panes of glass sacrifice themselves in Harry's effort.
If you're willing to give it a go here, 312-981-7200. If you can get within 10 seconds, within 10 seconds of 107, with the words correct, as Harry and myself and Jennings as the judge, if you're willing to do it, we will hook you up with Lou Malnati's pizza. Dan
Yum.
Long, what do you have to say about Lou Malnati's pizza for the final time? Dan Long leaving the show. I'm going to get emotional.
Home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, 40-plus Chicagoland locations, and you can order online at loumalnatis.com.
Will you record that? So even if you're not here, we can still use you as the guy that explains.
I will. I'll lay it down.
All right.
No one has ever explained to Lou Malnati's better than Dan. 312-981-7200. 107 seconds.
And if you can, pull the lyrics up.
I would prefer that you didn't do it with the lyrics, but if you know.
I mean, it'll go better.
It's the
we want them to win. We want someone to do it. Can we start with the Dave Jennings version?
Jennings' voice is too good. The guy sounds, I mean, it's like the voice of God in there.
Yes. My friend in Connecticut says he sounds like he's giving away prizes.
I mean, I think Jennings should have actually been...
A singer?
I don't know, like Price is Right or something like that. Come on down.
Do you know that he was an original member of Earth, Wind, and Fire?
David Jennings was?
Yes, he was.
No. There may have been someone named David Jennings there, but it was not me.
Come on.
I was a kid when they started.
I actually, if you had not jumped in there, I might have believed that.
Don't.
Yeah.
Trust me. No.
Okay. So... There's two qualifications here, 312-981-7200, playing for Lou Malnati's Pizza. Sing the Nash. You have to be willing to sing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also, you know, we're going to be watching the words on you. So you got to know the words.
I will pull them up.
I have it right in front of me. Don't you worry.
Okay.
I've been doing this all day
long.
Got
them in my head.
I've been.
That's what you've been doing all day long.
Well, that was a big part of my prep today. I listened to Gladys Knight sing it. I thought about making the bet. It's hard.
How cool, by the way, that her biggest hit is Midnight Train to Georgia, and she is singing the national anthem in Georgia.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. Let's see what we got here. Kathy?
Yeah, hi.
How are you, Kathy?
I'm puzzled by your request to have your listeners sing to you.
But yet you're willing to do it?
If no one else will, I'll do it. I'll step up.
I mean, we have other callers if you want to bail out here, Kathy. I think you want to do this. I want you to own that you, Kathy, want to do this.
Kathy, what he'd really prefer is if you would call him, like, at around 2 in the morning and just, like, you know, sing Sweet Baby James.
I mean...
And Mark, you can do it in under a minute.
Oh, you can, but the point is to...
Are we still talking about the song?
Yeah.
Good one, Harry.
You want me to sing it quickly?
No.
Way to sing it naturally.
107 seconds. You have to be within 10 seconds, Kathy, to win Lou Malnati's. You got to be within 10.
You don't want to be too quick.
Do you need any accoutrement here? Are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go. You got your timer?
I got my timer coming down in 3, 2, 1. Kathy and Skokie, go.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light?
Yeah.
What so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? What's the next word?
Whose broad stripes?
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous flight? What's the next one?
Yeah, Kathy.
Or the ramparts.
Kath's not going to work this way.
You made a good effort. Kathy, good try. We love you. Thank you for the effort, Kathy and Skokie.
Pull it up.
Pull which up?
Pull the lyrics up.
I got the lyrics. Oh,
no, the listeners.
Okay. See, now if you...
She started out good.
She was rolling.
Yeah.
So you do have to know the words, which speaks to my whole contention here, that people don't know the words to the anthem.
I think the Pledge of Allegiance is much harder.
Jennings, do you know the words?
To what? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Next.
Not those words.
Say grace, say,
can
the blessing.
You see by the dawn's early light.
That's one line.
What so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight.
Yeah.
The ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave? Or the land of the free? I'd hurt myself if I went up the next level.
You're doing good.
And the home of the brave.
Yeah, and you corrected yourself. That was a great job.
That's awesome.
That was a very good job. That was a very good. You were timing him?
Yes.
58.
You can do it in that. That's not an odd time. 107 is not unreasonable.
No, that's the time.
I've had singers tell me the hardest song to sing is the national anthem.
It is.
And the hardest line is, and the rockets' red glare. And Jennings just went through it flawlessly.
Yeah. Not flawlessly, well, but I did okay.
We're not looking for professional singers. We're looking for passion,
right,
Harry.
Right.
Hey, we'll give one more shot at this. Kimberly.
Yes, hi.
Kimberly, do you know the anthem?
I do. I am not a good singer, but I do know the anthem.
That doesn't matter. You're calling from Berwyn?
Yeah. I grew up in Woodstock, but I live in Berwyn.
I love Berwyn. My first girlfriend was from Berwyn.
Great.
Say more, Harry.
Laura Hammond.
Laura Hammond?
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful woman. Is there still a bar there called He's Not Here?
Yeah, that's actually in Stickney, but it's there. Yeah,
right. But what a great name for a bar. There's a bunch of dudes sitting around there drinking. The bartender answered the phone. He's not here.
That's great,
Kimberly. We're up against the clock here, so are you ready to go?
I am.
Okay, come
on. Plug your ears. Yeah.
No, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Kimberly and Berwyn, go.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light, or the ramparts we watched?
Sorry, Kimberly. Good effort. You made it.
The lyrics were incorrect.
It was a good effort. All right, if you're on hold, we'll sneak in one more here, or maybe even two. We'll see. But we got to take a quick timeout. 720 WGN. 107 seconds. Gladys Knight tomorrow. Will she go over? Will she go under? I mean, that's as interesting as anything else in the game tomorrow, from my perspective.
And there'll be no pips harmed during the singing of the national anthem, because she will be pip-free.
Pip-free, going solo, knocking it down.
As a big fan of Scottie Pippen, I am insulted by that decision.
Scottie Pippen, I did not see in Atlanta. Did not see any Chicago Bulls down there. Lots of Bears. Urlacher. Robbie Gould.
No longer technically not a Bear.
Earl Bennett.
Earl Bennett, a Bear.
No current Bears. No current Bears.
Good. I'm glad.
Right. Okay. One more chance at Lou Malnati's. 107 seconds. That's the over-under. You need to sing the anthem correctly within 10 seconds of 107 to win the prize. Gary in Hoffman. What's up, Gary?
I'm all ready. What do you think? What was it? $1,000 gift certificate or something?
Sure, Harry. That's right, Gary. $1,000. You ready? 3, 2.
Me. Okay, there I go. When?
Coming down. Three, two, one, go.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets' red glare.
Yeah.
The bombs bursting in air.
Go, Gary.
Gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave?
Hurry up!
O'er the land of the free and the home of the
I got him in a minute 31, but just outstanding.
I got him in a 142. He's right there. He did it, and I started late. You did that, Gary. That was the greatest performance in the history of WGN Radio. I don't care what anyone says.
What happened at the end? Was somebody, like, grabbing your...
There was...
My dog was biting my ankle.
Gary, congrats. You're going to Lou Malnati's. You're a patriot, Gary. Good job.
Thank you, guys. Listen, have a good day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. We'll get your info.
Hang on, Gary. And to everybody else, Carol, Donald, Susan, Kevin, anybody else who tried to get in, we appreciate you. We love you. We got Blackhawks hockey coming up.
Right. Oh, man. We just got started. This isn't enough of a show.
We always want to do more.
Blackhawks are great. Very excited. The Hawks are playing tonight.
On the road at Minnesota. Let's go Hawks. Harry and I will continue the show. We'll be hanging over the Chicago River, thinking about...
Yes. Carm, Jerry, Nunn, and I.
All right, on that note, a little quick time out here. Chris Bowden is ready to rock and roll with the pregame show. That's straight ahead, Hawks in the Wild. Thank you for listening. Dan Long, congratulations on your promotion. We will miss you on the show. Thank you for all your help, Dan Long. We're always here, man, always contributing. Appreciate you.
Hey, well, thank you guys for making it a great show. It was a hell of a ride.
It was great to have you, Dan. Congratulations. All right, Hawks hockey coming up. 720 WGN.